Now, I'm joined in the studio by Nikki, who is from Chelmsford, and she's here to raise awareness of a cancer called cholangiocarcinoma. Now, it's an awareness month for the AMMF, and that's the UK's only cholangiocarcinoma, which is CC for short, charity. Now, CC is the second most common liver cancer in the UK, and it claims more lives than cervical cancer, but nobody knows about it. I've not heard about this liver cancer before myself, and I always try and keep informed, Nikki. So you sadly lost your husband Chris in June 2012 to this disease. Tell us exactly what happened.
Well, it was about 2 years before that Chris, I mean, he worked really hard in London. He had a business. He was always busy. He had lots of hobbies. But he suddenly became very tired all the time, you know, unusually tired.
Yeah.
As soon as he sat down, he'd fall asleep. And I said to him, you know, what's wrong with you? And I encouraged him, you know what men are like, but I encouraged him to get down to the doctors for a health check. Anyway, his blood results came back, and his liver enzymes were raised slightly. And the doctor, you know, asked lots of questions. And anyway, the doctor decided that Chris was drinking too much red wine.
Yeah.
I mean, we always had a couple of glasses with our dinner in the evening. And he said, yeah, you've got to cut down. I think this is the problem.
Mm.
So a couple of months later, Chris went back to the doctors. He was still extremely tired and felt just generally a bit under the weather.
Yeah.
The doctor sent him for an ultrasound scan, but that came back absolutely negative. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. So we carried on. We went on holiday. We were climbing up and down mountains, long walks every day. Chris was okay, but still a bit under the weather.
Yeah.
And the next thing, he was out in the garden one day, and he came in and he said to me, my hands are really itching.
Mm.
And I said, well, you must have picked up a nettle or something in the garden. But this itching sort of continued, went up his arms, and then I noticed that the whites of his eyes were turning yellow.
Yeah.
So the alarm bells started to ring then. Chris was back down to the doctors. This was about 7 months from when he originally went down.
Yeah.
Our GP decided to send him over to the hospital for some further tests. We got down to the hospital on the Monday morning, you know, had all the usual blood tests and, you know, BP. And then we went through the history with one of the doctors there, and he said, I think it's probably a tumour in the bile duct, because Chris was really starting to turn yellow at this stage, you know, like you would with gallstones.
Yep.
But unfortunately, it wasn't gallstones, it was a tumour.
Yeah.
And a couple of days later, they made this diagnosis of cholangiocarcinoma, which I'd never heard of, you know, none of my family had heard of. And of course, when I looked on the internet, it was absolutely devastating, because it is such a serious cancer and it's very hard to treat. Only 5% of people live for more than a year.
Yep.
And the only chance of a cure is surgery. But usually, by the time this cancer is diagnosed, it's too late for surgery.
Yep.
And the cancer has already spread into the lymph nodes and working its way around the body. I mean, fortunately, we were sent up to the Royal Free, which is a specialist unit, and Chris did eventually get the surgery, pushed and pushed for surgery, although his cancer was quite advanced.
Yeah.
Major surgery.
What type of surgery? Because I know with the liver, sometimes there was talk of freezing sections of the liver, because the liver can repair. If you catch it in early stage, it can repair itself. Or was it basically?
It was a resection. He had a liver resection where they take away as much of the liver as they possibly can and leave you just enough to survive with.
Yeah.
And then, as you said, the liver does regenerate.
Yeah.
And following this, Chris did have 6 months of intense chemotherapy. But unfortunately, a year in June 2012, which was a year after the initial diagnosis, he died, which has just devastated our family.
Yeah.
But what helped me from the minute we got the diagnosis, I became aware of this charity, AMMF, which is the Ellen Mormont Memorial Fund, which was started by Helen Mormont when her husband died 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And you can imagine, 12 years ago, there was just nothing at all. So she decided, you know, she's an amazing woman, she decided to try and raise awareness about this cancer and also start fundraising for research, because what we need is an earlier diagnosis. You know, I'm forever thinking, if only Chris was diagnosed earlier, we missed those 7 months, you know, the outcome may have been different.
So with this cancer, because you said it's second most liver, because I presumed that there was just one cancer of the liver. I didn't realise that there was different types.
Yes, well, bile duct cancer, as you said, is the second most common. Some people with chronic liver disease may go on to get bile duct cancer,
yeah.
But it's really just sporadic, really. You know, there's no definition as to who's going to get it. It can just strike anyone at any time. Younger people as well as older people. Chris was 55 when he died.
Yeah.
But this month, February, is AMMF's Awareness Month. And up and down the country, all the supporters of the charity are sending out letters to their GP, highlighting the facts, because many GPs aren't aware of this cancer.
Yeah.
I say it strikes about 1,800 people a year in the UK, which when you think of some of the other cancers, you know, there's 40,000 people.
Yeah.
So therefore, there's very little research. But after Chris died, my family and I decided that we wanted to support the charity, and we started fundraising. And our big thing last year, my stepson, he did the Three Pigs Challenge. His girlfriend did the Race for Life.
Mm-hmm.
But my son and I decided that we were going to walk the Great Wall of China.
Which is an amazing, I mean, that it just must have been very, very emotional. But obviously,
yes,
to raise money, because a lot of people, when they lose somebody to the horrible disease of cancer, and I think we all have, people will be out there listening now, have lost friends and family.
Of course.
And it is, sometimes you want to shut yourself away and you don't want to do anything, but you've actually gone out there and you're making a positive, a real positive difference.
Yes.
And also to get other people to know about this disease. We'll go through the symptoms again in a while. So you were on the Great Wall of China. How long were you out there for?
10 days. It was really tough.
Yeah.
My son, obviously, he's only 30, and he loved every minute, and, you know, so fit and up the front, you know, with the front crowd. But poor old me, I was lagging behind at the back, I'm afraid. But I mean, it is amazing. You know, the scenery is amazing, and there was about 40 of us in all supporting different charities.
Yeah.
But an amazing group of people. But we went to all different parts of the wall, and a lot of it is really unrestored, and you really are climbing like on your hands and knees, literally, sometimes, you know. But we were out every day from about 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night, and it really was a challenge.
Yeah.
It really was. But I was able, I mean, obviously, you can't use Facebook in China, but I was able to get a few little texts back home, and Helen was able to put them on the website. You know, we've got a great website, and had some followers on Facebook. And the day we actually got to that finishing line was an amazing day.
And you raised here £11,500.
Well, I've got another check this week for £500.
Oh,
so
wow.
We're over 12,000 now.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You know, unbelievable. I mean, I remember before I went, I was thinking, well, if I can raise, say, £1,000, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, today, you know, over 12,000 people have been so generous, you know, and so grateful to everyone, you know, that helped us.
Now, I just want to have a quick let you know about the websites as well. You can go to allthewammf.org.uk, and you can also follow on Facebook, allthewsfacebook.com/pages AMMF as well, if you can have a look there for the pages. Now, I was going to say, for the symptoms, if anybody's, because we all get very, very tired, and, you know, most of the times you go to the doctors, and I think it is persistence as well, is saying, actually, sometimes you do know your own body, and you just might feel tired. But if you've got a doctor saying, well, it's probably, you know, your age, or what the other symptoms that would go with this to make you think, ah, that clicks into something
yeah,
else.
Yeah, well, it is. It's a very hard cancer to diagnose, unfortunately. Mm. But I would just say to anyone, if you're unusually tired, to go to the doctors and ask for some blood tests. And if your liver tests aren't right, just ask for more tests. A CT scan, ultrasound scan, and just keep on, you know, persisting with your doctor if you do have those symptoms.
Yeah. And with this, it's the Awareness Month, as you know, for the AMMF. You've got some up-and-coming events as well. You're going to be raising money. You've got your stepson's ex-girlfriend is going to Kilimanjaro.
Yes, September. Yeah. Yeah, she's a fantastic girl, yeah. And, you know, she's still raising funds for us. So, yeah, she's in training for that. My son's hoping to do the night rider ride. That's overnight around London in June this year.
Yep.
And I've got a big birthday coming up, so I'll be fundraising again, raffle.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're keeping on, we're carrying on, and just hoping to raise awareness. And, you know, we just need more research. We need either a urine test or a blood test that's going to pick this cancer up earlier, rather than wait until the jaundice happens, which by that time, most times, it's too late. You know, we need to pick this up sooner.
And will there, is that what the funding goes towards, obviously, like the research? I know with like prostate cancer, they were saying that it's literally come on leaps and bounds because they've had Movember with people growing
moustaches.
Right.
Yes.
And they said now, I mean, when you've got prostate cancer a good few years ago, it was like there wasn't much hope. There is now, because it's gone into the same vein as like breast cancer, where you get more money behind for the research. So are they hoping that they will eventually, once the money's obviously there and they keep researching, they should be able to maybe detect
it
earlier?
Of course, yeah. There is a research program in London going on at the moment, trying to, you know, find a dipstick test to pick up this cancer. So we're really trying as hard as we can, and hopefully, you know, one day we will find some answers to this rarer cancer.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming in today. I'm just going to read out the website again for you as well. If you want to find out more, it's all the W's, ammf.org.uk. And if you want to follow on Facebook, it's all the W's, facebook.com/pages/ammf. They've also got a Twitter account as well, which I joined this morning, but you'll be able to find that off the main website. So thank you ever so much for coming in today, Nikki. It's lovely to meet you.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
And I told you to go quick. It's gone really quick.